favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
It's all for you!
Such sights to show you.
Honestly, I'll get to it, how much I enjoyed watching this, especially in the ambiance I created for myself while I was watching it.
Of course.
It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, on that note, are you ready to get started?
I'm always ready. Hold on. One more. There we
Excellent.
Go.
Excellent.
I'm ready.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster.
Woo!
Joining me today, because Phil and Anthony are grown-ass adults with busy-ass lives, is Danny Gutierrez.
Woo!
From Hops and
Trading
Notes.
In one brown for two.
Okay.
I'm going to have to carry the weight of two browns on this one. It's going to be...
How does that feel?
It's tough.
Yeah.
But I think I can do it.
I think so too.
I want to apologize in advance. If you hear whining or rustling, it is my dog, Ghost. He is...
Everyone say hi, Ghost. He's the best boy ever.
Is this coming out tomorrow?
It is. And
this is
his birthday.
Being released on his birthday. So he gets to do what he wants,
Happy
I guess.
Happy birthday, Libra King.
Happy birthday, you little poop.
And then if my audio sounds wonky, it's because this is the first episode we've recorded in my new place.
In Podcast Palace 2.0.
Podcast Palace 2.0. Now I can be a little bit more selective about the information I give out about where I live. Because if you listen to
656
Metropolitan Avenue, if you listen to all the older episodes of the podcast, I feel like we talk about like things in my old neighborhood so much that you could pretty easily, I think, if someone was really being creepy about it, could figure out where I used to live.
Yeah,
which so I don't want.
We should refrain from using the city,
yeah, if at all possible. That would be great.
Yeah,
knowing my freaking luck, the second we get onto another episode, Flynn's gonna be like, "So, how are you liking it in your new digs?" And bleep, like,
yeah,
I'm gonna have to bleep them.
That's gonna be the fun part. Is now editing is gonna require bleeps.
Yeah, maybe,
but. I am excited for when, at some point, we do record any podcast in Podcast Palace 2.0, because just so people can see the new layout, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I liked it when I went over.
I'm glad. I'm not sold on what to do with the table, because my living room is significantly smaller, or I don't have, there isn't, a dedicated dining space, but...
Mm. We'll figure it out.
Anyway, enough about that.
Speaking of houses.
Right, yeah. Good segue. Speaking of houses, we were going to do a very fun, very sad episode.
Yeah.
But Phil Acevedo was not going to be able to join us. And so in literally, I want to say, 48, no, not even 24 hours notice.
No, I was going to say less than 24 hours, because we were playing trivia at this point last night.
Which we fucking won.
We won, by the way. We kept the name or the rep of this podcast network strong. This podcast specifically, we won by 1 point.
Oof.
Came out on top. Shout out to Ruben and Lexi.
Yeah, because both
for
of
them thinking that they thought they were going to be useless.
Yeah.
Had clutch answers.
Yes. Both, I told Ruben he can just be our mascot, but then lo and behold, he came in. So did Lexi with...
But also, shout out to Tommy, too, for inviting us to begin with.
Absolutely.
My buddy Tommy, listener of the show.
Hi!
But also, hey, Tommy! But yeah, hell yeah, dude, champions. I should have brought my wrestling belt.
You know what? But it would have been embarrassing if we had lost and you
hadn't. I know. But I'm parked close enough to... I could have run and got it.
You could have. To be fair, the second we realized that we won, all of us stood up and were just like it was true, end of wrestling match cockiness.
Oh, yeah.
Where we were just
it was full DX.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. We all could have done it, and it would have... We were embarrassing. But we won. We went to a horror trivia night at a local brewery. And Tommy put us onto it, and we went, and we had a great time. And when you win, apparently you get 50% off your tab, which great.
I'm scared to see what my tab would have been, considering I picked up 4 packs after.
Yeah, you got like 2 4-packs, right?
I'm actually drinking one from there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm drinking Diet Dr. Pepper.
Nice.
Anyway, so sorry for all the I'm not focused right now.
I'm still on the high of honestly, winning.
Yes. Cheryl texted me and was like, how does it feel waking up a winner? And I'm like, fucking incredible. Are you kidding? Yeah.
How do you feel texting a winner? Just flexing.
Right? No, I feel I've been riding this high for like literally the second we won, because I was so stressed. I was literally shaking, which is stupid because it's fucking trivia. Like, it's not a big deal, but.
But we know our reputation. We had to win.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Lexi was like, I'm going to be disappointed if you guys lose. And I'm just like, I don't need this pressure.
Why would you say that?
Why would you say that? Anyway,
spooky houses. Spooky houses, things.
Tis the season. I fucking love this movie. We are talking about Hell House LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor.
Hell yeah.
That is a fucking mouthful.
This is part 4?
This is part 4. So this is the fourth one. Also, I think it's misleading because it's Hell House LLC Origins, but it takes place after 3, where the Abaddon burns down.
Where the actual origins start.
It gives lore background, but like the present day quote unquote timeline happens after the first 3. Like, it's very interesting.
Also, really quick, the way one of the people in this movie pronounced Abaddon Hotel.
Abaddon?
Abaddon. I was like, ma'am, if you don't put respect on this demon's name, I'm going to lose it. Because, like,
it must be like a Midwestern thing.
God, it has to be.
Right? Like, Abaddon? Yeah.
Because everybody else said it like a human.
Yeah.
That girl calls water fountains bubblers.
Calls it pop.
Yeah.
All right. So, kicking us off with yield IMDb synopsis. A group of cold case investigators stay at the Carmichael Manor. After 4 nights, the group was never heard from again. What is discovered on their footage is even more disturbing than anything found on the Hell House tapes. Fucking stupid. I don't like that one.
What about it upsets you?
I think it sounds like I'm being pitched something. Like, it sounds like a sales pitch.
Okay. I have a beef with a group of cold case investigators.
Yeah, it's should one. Be
a cold case investigator, her girlfriend, and brother. Yeah, both don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Go literally, to Haunted House.
If it was up to them, they would have left on day 3.
Yeah.
But no.
This is Haunted Mansion 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yes.
with not even talking shit, they could have wrote Haunted Mansion 2 Electric Boogaloo, and I would have loved it.
Yeah, totally. This was directed by Stephen Cognetti, and it was also, the screenplay was written by Stephen Cognetti. I do believe he also directed the first one.
I've seen that name before.
I did too. He did direct the first one.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, I wasn't crazy. Okay. Excellent. You're crazy. It's starring Bridget Rose Parata. Destiny Leilani Brown, James Liddell, and Gideon Berger.
I love that. I don't know if you noticed this, but I saw, like I was saying earlier to you, I had to like refresh myself on part 1. And I love that every Wikipedia page, everybody who's acted in any of these movies, no Wikipedia page. This is like their only credit. Yeah. And I fucking love that.
It's like the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. It did have those vibes at some point. Well, we'll get to it when we dissect.
It was distributed by Terror Films and Shudder. It's a Shudder exclusive, which we love.
Dun dun.
Dun dun. Not the Law and Order dun dun. It's a different dun dun.
It's a John Carpenter dun dun.
Yeah. Don't drop that dun dun.
There it is.
And it was released on October 30th, 2023. So the
last
day
year.
Before Halloween. So, well, I mean, just a brief kind of prelude. So I watched this while getting tattooed, which is really hard if you're trying not to jump out of your fucking skin while you're getting tattooed.
Which one were you getting?
It was the shading and coloring on my sleeve.
Oh, right. I remember.
It was last December, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was hard. Like, she was like, oh, yeah, I watched this. It's really good. And I was like, all right, fuck yeah. And then I'm like, thank God it was, like, super brightly lit because, you know, you don't want to get tattooed in a poorly lit tattoo studio.
I do think the jumps in this are very good.
The fucking Zoom call got me so good.
Oh, man. We're going to get to that for sure.
So, there is no box office info because it was direct-to-video. Because it was direct-to-video, we have very little to go off of. So, consider this the Oops! All Vibes episode of Horrible People's Podcast this October. Expect a relaxed, more conversational episode.
One might call a relaxed fit.
I didn't want to say that, but yes. Also, one Anthony Fuentes was supposed to join us, but he hit a big work milestone, so he's dealing with the fallout and celebratoriness of that. So,
congrats to Fuen for that.
Yes.
Like, it's the best reason to not be able to record.
Yeah, he's killing it at his day job, I must say.
Which we love.
On this side of things, why? Whoa. Are you in the chat? Or in the outline?
Yeah.
Why am I in there twice?
I don't know.
I just popped up as a user. That's spooky.
Hell yeah, dude. Let's go.
Oh my god. What the
Ghost,
fuck?
What are you up to? He's so upset. He's literally has his head buried under my pillows right now.
Oh, I know what it is. Sometimes my work computer, because I was working on this on my work computer, and I think
No, this is the ghosts, and we're accepting it.
No, we're not. Literally, I just moved. I don't need ghosts.
All the ghosts. Maybe it's your ghost at work.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, if they're on this call, please, we would love your thoughts.
I don't want your... Don't do this. The plot of the movie. We're just gonna trade off. We're gonna do a quick little plot breakdown. We're gonna talk about the reception, do some reviews, brief little discussion. I have a fun little game planned, which unfortunately has been ruined because there's two of us instead of three, but that's okay.
It's fine.
We'll make it work. But yeah, let's
segment dive... from Alex Webster.
What?
I said now a segment from Alex Webster.
Oh, no. Anyway, let's dive into the plot.
All right.
Danny, take it away.
I got it. The film depicts a documentary using found footage recovered from filmmaker Margot Bentley, her girlfriend Rebecca Vickers, and brother Chase Bentley.
Let's go lesbians.
Yes. Immediately, the first thing I thought when this happened, I was like, of course. And then not even because I didn't know you had picked it yet. And then when they go thrift shopping, I'm like, God damn it.
I didn't even pick it because of the thrift shopping.
Listen, I know, but just like they went for like, what do lesbians do?
Thrift shop.
They like thrifting.
Yeah, literally, the director was just like, quickly in a writer's room somewhere, what do lesbians love to do? And it is thrifting. I can confirm. I fucking love going thrifting. Are you serious?
Honestly,
vintage store?
Yeah. I do love going through the potentially haunted items at a thrift store.
Yeah, literally. That's
a lot of fun.
That's, I think it was like our third date. But when
you guys went to Old Town.
Yeah, like that's literally all Sherilyn and I did. We walked around and pointed at things and we're just like, that is 1000% haunted for like
that
2 hours.
Haunted.
Yeah.
That might kill me.
Oh my gosh. That area is so cool.
Okay, so really quick, before I even go to the second point of this, a problem, quote-unquote, I had, I texted you about it, was I was like, wait, they just said that the dad and son have been missing for 30 years, and then the literal next person in the like the mockumentary, it says a year before they died, the son was driving the sister, and I was like, wait, how has he been missing for 30 years, and suddenly he's driving somebody? And then Webster laid it out for me. Also, other you just left the outline.
Oh, spooky.
Hehe. So she pointed it out to me. She was like, hey, crime, 30 years of missing, movie present day.
Yeah, the exact breakdown is like, hold on, I wrote it out. We text too much. Okay, it's the son is in an accident with, yes. with when the so it's the son and the eldest daughter, and the daughter yeah. dies, Margaret dies, and then the son loses the use of his arm. 1 year after that, dad and son go missing, and that's when the wife and the younger daughter die. 30 yeah. years pass, current day in the movie.
Also,
I did like clock that when I was watching it. I was like, oh, that does make no sense.
Yeah, the way they said it, I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? But also, I wrote, so after that and the next thing, they were like, oh, because they don't say the names of the daughters until after they say that. Mm. So I was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, was she murdered or did she die in a car accident? And then they're like, you know, Catherine and what's the other daughter's name?
You're asking
Margaret.
Oh.
Catherine and Margaret. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, Catherine and Margaret. And I was like, oh, two daughters.
Two.
I literally in all caps in my phone notes wrote two daughters.
Yes, two daughters.
So yes.
Excellent.
Anyway, the three that I'm talking about right now are Margot, Rebecca, and Chase. All died while spending 4 nights investigating Carmichael Manor, a remote house in Rockland County, New York, mentioned to be one town over from the Abaddon Hotel. Please see the Horrible People's episode on Hell House LLC for more information. That is the OG.
Yes.
The recovered footage was edited together by Margot's friend Bradley Moynihan, who provides...
Moynihan.
Whatever. Sure, Han, whatever. Han. It's a bad last name. Who provides commentary alongside journalist Alice Harper.
See, I really like this. I think it adds, like, to, like, this... Like, when you go into a found footage movie, you have the expectation that everyone's going to be dead at the end, right? Like, mm-hmm. most people generally have that expectation. But to have it spelled out explicitly, like, the people you are about to see did not survive the movie...
Well,
makes it a little fun.
I think this, the way they set it up too, where like it's very mockumentary.
Mm-mm,
so
yeah.
When like something big happens and then it cuts to like to true time and they're talking about what we just saw or what we're about to just see, I think it makes it more marketable to people who don't really dig that like terrifying OG like, based on a true story, like,
yeah,
what you're about to see is the only footage found, and then you get fucking all found footage from beginning to end.
That's true.
Like, I think it makes it a little more easier for people to watch,
which is crazy. I kind of enjoyed it. Rebecca has a fucking pair of lungs on her. Her screams in this are downright unsettling.
Oh, man, yeah, dude. I had a lot of fun watching this.
Good. Okay, I'm so glad. I fucking, yeah.
Yes. The film's narrative provides connections to previous films and the franchise's lore involving the hotel and cult leader, Andrew Tully.
Boobish man.
I saw that name and I was like, wait, I know that name. And that's when I went back and looked it up and I was like, oh, fuck, that's right. Part one.
It's all connected.
Margot and Rebecca travel to the manor to investigate the infamous Carmichael murders that happened in 1989.
Bum, bum, bum.
Cocaine.
Okay.
Hey, it was the 80s.
Barely. What was happening?
How long do you want me to go into this, by the way?
You can keep going.
All right. The Carmichael's daughter, Margaret, an actress, and I'm giving her the Italian hands, actress, died in a car crash months before. Her sister Catherine and mother Eleanor were murdered, but her father Arthur and brother Patrick disappeared. And I'm glad I can make this reference now because you kind of get it. This kind of gave me Amityville vibes a little bit. Like, the way they were talking about it and like, you know, nobody knows how this happened. Only one set of footprints left.
Yeah. Well,
like, I was like, okay, this is almost JonBenet-ish too. Like, it's...
Yeah. I think... For me, like, part of my, I think, not frustration with it, but I think it was just for ease of the writing process. Like, they didn't want to lean too much in, like, to the true crime side of things, but, like, they really wrote off a lot of stuff. They're like, yeah, the father must have killed everyone and killed the son and carried him out himself because there's only one set of footprints.
Well, and they also said that the, like, son's bed was covered in blood.
Right.
And they're like, we just don't know where his body is. And I'm like, okay, I can see the setup here. Like, I see what they're trying to present, and I see what Margot's, like, fascination, and, like, she wants to find what exactly happened.
Yes. I think also, I mean, we'll get into her fascination with this particular case in a minute, I'm sure. But I think also, I think it's just me being nitpicky, because I think that there are so many other reasonable explanations other than, like, he must have killed him. And, like, I don't know. Yeah. It was just, I digress. Anyway.
Anyway, Margot's own interest in the paranormal began after a man in a clown costume tried to abduct her at a carnival when she was a child. Margot and Rebecca are joined by Chase, who has a history of psychosis and was drawn to help Margot following another episode.
Yeah, interesting.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't like it, but...
I liked the idea of nobody actually wanting to be there.
Mm-hmm. Other than Margot?
Yeah. But it also got real after the Zoom call, which we'll get to, when they're arguing, and I'm like, oh, man, this is the realest shit I've seen in so long.
It's true. Like, that is a very, like, real feeling argument, which is, like, you know, you don't get that kind of level of authenticity in a lot of horror films, which I respect. But also, just watching people argue kind of makes me uncomfortable. So I was like, okay.
Divorced. Parents' life. Okay. Woo!
Thank you. Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but sure.
Oh, no, I will gladly say it, because me too. But, it, like, even, like, Chase gave off, like, I think Chase, everybody in this film kills it for me, like, acting-wise. They give that vibe for you. Yeah. Even though they're behind the camera, even though you can't see their face, like, it is presented so well.
Agreed.
So, they find a locked storage room full of paraphernalia from the fun fair, including three, count them, 1, 2, 3... clown mannequins.
Far too many, if you ask me.
Now, one clown mannequin is too many.
Exactly.
But the way they present it, because this is also before Chase is there, where, like, Rebecca walks out and Margot's standing in the hallway like a psychopath.
Yeah, just staring like a freak.
Staring and silent.
Pointing and pointing.
I think this movie builds so much, like, they build the anticipation for the jump scare.
Yeah.
And then you're blue-balled.
Yeah.
Because even, like, that transition of when she looks in, you have a lot of time to adjust to see. Like, yeah, they're creepy, but they're there, whatever. And I don't think we had the story yet at that point.
No.
I think we had, like, a flavor of it, but not really. But you can tell, like, Margot's uncomfortable. But you don't really know why. But, like, it wasn't a jump scare. It was, she was just like, hey, we shouldn't have opened their locked room.
Yeah. No, totally. I think also just, like, the standing, the pointing, the, like, it sets you up for a jump scare, but you don't get it, which I think is fun. Yes. Playfully edged with the jump scare, if I may.
Learning artifacts from the hotel are being exhibited at a local antique store. Margot and Rebecca do the lesbian thing and investigate. Rebecca recognizes a grandfather clock from the hotel, finding film reels, letters, and a cross pendant inside a hidden compartment.
Honestly, every lesbian's dream of finding, like, a super rare find like that at a at an antique shop.
Again, like,
honorary lesbian, Danny Gutierrez.
Yeah, honorary lesbian Danny Gutierrez today. holy shit, the amount of, like, if I notice something that I know has, like, a hidden compartment or whatever at an antique shop, I open it and find stuff. I am losing my mind.
Oh,
and
for
I'm definitely pulling a Margot and I'm robbing that antique store.
You're like, finders keepers, bitch. It doesn't have like, a tag. It's mine now.
Y'all fucked up and didn't check.
Yeah, I was kind of like torn on the morality of that. Like, I was like, well, it's not technically their stuff. And like, but also like, do we really want to steal? Like,
nobody's going to know. How are they going to know?
They're going to know.
How are they going to know, little puppy? You're small. Do you want to take over from here?
Yes.
Take it.
All right.
Talk about our boy.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so meanwhile, Chase back at the mansion is frightened by the clowns and a masked woman. Margot and Rebecca return and tries to convince them that the manor is actually genuinely haunted, which really, how hard can it be considering that they have video evidence at this point?
Dude, the scene of when he's looking down and he sees the hand.
Yeah.
And it pulls away.
Yeah.
What I'm super hyped about was like that jump scare specifically when she leans.
Mm-hmm.
It was so simple and so like it wasn't, you know, woman in the bathroom mirror or behind the curtains or anything. It was just somebody turning a corner. That was so good. And I really liked her, like, her mask.
Yeah, did you ever see The Houses October Built?
Yes.
It reminds me of the doll face mask from that.
Yes, yes, it does. A lot. Yeah. Very good.
That's the vibe that I got from it.
Oh, but the creepy laughs, too.
I love a creepy laugh. I know it's a horror cliche, but I love a good creepy laugh.
Yep.
Okay, let's see. Where was I?
The recovered film.
So, the recovered film reels are sent to Bradley, who includes them in the documentary depicting footage recorded by Catherine prior to and after Margaret's death, revealing Margaret to actually be the masked woman.
Ooh.
A fun little plot twist, if I do say so myself.
Yep.
So Patrick survived the crash, as we previously mentioned, but grows withdrawn and further disturbed. Catherine gives him the pendant to protect him.
The pendant that they found. The pendant to kill Cuzco.
Yes.
Cuzco's pendant.
Cuzco's pendant.
It felt very that way, and I was like, I'm not even mad. It's so cheesy, but...
It's true. Like, those are little things that, like, it's definitely what I've called on the podcast as elbow nudges. Like, when you nudge someone and you're like, huh? Huh?
Wink, wink. Wink,
wink. Wink, wink. This will be important later.
But I think Patrick did a very good job of, like, being, you know, the silly brother when they first showed him in the film. And then when they show him back...
He's a haunted man.
Fucking hard 180.
Yeah.
Like that dude served in Nam or something. Like, it was so wild. He's don't
this is
film
Patrick.
Me. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So my only beef was whenever they showed the film, it sounded like they were all speaking through a megaphone.
I think that was the point.
I know, but I feel like it ruined my speakers.
Oh. It, like, blew out your speakers?
Oh, no, it just sounded bad. Like, I know it's supposed to sound bad.
It's supposed to sound bad.
But, like, don't fuck my speakers up. Like, God damn it. I already have to replace my AirPods. Don't do this to me.
The speaker on my computer is completely useless. It sounds...
Oh, I remember. I've heard it.
Oh, okay.
It sounds more haunted than their film.
Yeah, it's it's not good. The ghost in my MacBook.
Not you, fluffy boy.
Oh, sorry, ghosty. I just heard the saddest.
I know. He's just upset because I looked at him.
Oh. So Patrick. Oh, da 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 da. Oh, okay. So further footage reveals Patrick joined Tully's cult with the hope to resurrect Margaret. Moved the clowns into his bedroom and kept Margaret's costume as a memento.
Dude. The blood-stained costume mask. Yeah.
That's crazy.
As soon as she noticed it, she was like, what the fuck?
It's deeply disturbing. But later, the cult members invade the manor where Catherine is killed by Margaret's ghost. Wah, wah.
That was actually a really good sequence too, of like her freaking out.
Oh yeah.
Seeing the cult members inside and oh.
Yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, really quick.
Yes.
When Rebecca replaces the sheets. Oh, you're back, by the way.
Yeah, I see it. I saw that. That's not good.
Hello, Ghost Webster.
Ooh.
When Rebecca replaces the sheets and she does the pan over
mm-hmm. of
clean sheets, her face, back to the bed, boom, covered in blood.
So good.
Oh, I would like that actually like had me jump because I was expecting it, but I wasn't expecting the mess.
Yeah, like I was like, I think that's one of the good things about found footage is like, because you get that like selfie shot where like you can see what's behind the subject, but the subject can't. So it just makes it.
The irony is great.
That's true also. Okay, so. Thank you. In the present, Rebecca's presentation to a real estate partner is disrupted by Catherine's ghost. That is the fucking, like...
Honestly, because even if it wasn't a ghost, like, you could have done this whole sequence with, like, a serial killer.
Oh my god.
And it would have been as terrifying.
Oh my god. So basically, to explain it in a little bit more detail, Rebecca is giving this presentation to her boss and she's showing off these like houses that are possibilities to buy and flip or whatever.
Honestly, then, the house with the hole in the ceiling, I was like, yo, I would live there. that shit looks nice as hell.
It just needs a little TLC.
Yeah.
So it cuts to a photo in like a beautiful foyer, which it's one we recognize because it's the one of the Carmichael Mansion.
Of the house that they're in.
And the boss is just like, it looks not like a fixer-upper. It looks actually, in fact, a little too nice. And she was like, oh, it shouldn't be here. Goes to the next photo. And progressively, each photo is getting closer and closer to the room that she is in. It is so fucking scary.
It's presented so well, too, because it's very Halloween. It's very Friday the 13th, where the slow-moving killer is coming up the stairs chasing our final girl. And then the last shot of the picture where they're standing at the stairs and it's her on the computer. Literally, if this was happening to me, I know exactly what this picture would look like.
Oh, well, don't say that because my back is to my door.
So is mine. I'm literally facing my a wall.
Yeah, me too.
But no, so it's presented so cool. And then when they show the shot of her in the room...
Mm.
Catherine next to her, but Catherine's looking out the window. At first, like when I saw that, I was like, oh, maybe this isn't like a harmful spirit. Like maybe this is, you know, it's a little different. Then the next shot, she's turned facing her. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's happening.
She's turned facing her, and it's like the creepy horror thing where like her mouth is open, her eyes are black. It's like very unsettling.
And she's all cut up too. Yeah, like, she all looks fucked. Like a victim.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It was scary as shit.
Very good.
It scared me, and this was my second time seeing the movie. The first time, I was so fucking tense. My tattoo artist was like, "Are you okay?" And I was just like, "Yes, I'm fine." Same. But yeah, that was it's such a good sequence. It was so good. Saying that the real estate partner, it was disrupted by Catherine's ghost is the understatement of the fucking century, by the way.
Well, then also too, they were told at the beginning of the movie, this house immaculate Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
And
shit.
Then literally as soon as they weren't even connected to Wi-Fi, as soon as I saw a camera glitch 20 minutes before this thing, I was like, the demons are here. There's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah, absolutely bonkers. So, after this is when Rebecca is like, I need to fucking go.
Well, this is the mom and dad, please stop arguing.
Yeah, this is one of them. Like, this is, yeah. Because she's like, I would like to leave now. And then Margot is, like, gaslighting her and is just like, well, it could have been something else. Like, you don't know. Like, basically she's trying to manipulate her into getting the footage of the call.
Yeah.
Because she's like, that would be freaking great for my documentary. And it's just like, homegirl, you.
And she's like, girl, fuck your documentary.
Yeah. She's like, what the fuck? No, honey. I need to leave.
Well, and that's also when she tells her, I may have just lost my job, and this is the only thing that funds all of this.
Yeah.
Like, that's when they start talking money, and that's when I'm like,
Mom, Dad, please, yeah. No.
Chase, go to your room.
Yeah. I know. Jesus Christ. When they start talking money, I'm like, this needs to wrap up quickly. Yeah, like,
this is hitting me somewhere where it shouldn't.
Not for a freaking horror film. No.
Right? How dare they?
I know. So, Margot does eventually agree to leave the manor in the morning. It was a compromise because Rebecca wanted to leave immediately. So yes. Did Chase. But, that night, you know, waiting to leave in the morning, Chase disappears over the night, leaving his possessions, his phone, his meds, everything behind.
His bag at the stairwell.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because we're getting, like we're switching POVs, so to speak, because it's going between Rebecca and Margot and Chase in the other room. But I'm like, I feel like I would hear this. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I was one of, like, yeah, because, yeah.
But we do figure out that Margot does hear, when she wakes up, she's like, hey, did you hear that?
Totally. But, like, the noise that Chase is making, like, I feel like that would wake someone up, because it's not just one yell, you know what I mean? There's a lot.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, really, ultimately, neither here nor there. But footage reveals Chase was approached in his bedroom by one of the clowns who pursued and killed him. This was terrifying.
Oh, man. Because I think the way they drag out your suspense and they make you wait to see what's about to happen is so good. Because you expect it and they don't do it. You expect it, they don't do it. And then you expect it and it happens. But you're also already so tense that it still fucks with you.
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree. I think also part of it is, so this clown is in all of the other Hell House movies. Yep. And you'd think by the fourth movie, I'd get sick and tired of seeing this fucking clown, or I wouldn't be scared of this clown. But it's still scary as fucking shit.
Well, the especially scene, presented...
When he's slowly moving from his bed, and he's like, I'm sorry, and its head is turning, and it's following him, I would be so unwell.
Well, this was the part, too, where he's apologizing, and he's saying he's gonna leave, and all this shit, and you don't see it moving until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see him, he looks, and then the camera moves away, and then he looks, and it's in a different position. And then when he's running down the hall, I think once he gets to the stairs, that's when you see it actually start to walk.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like,
I was thinking, like, because his head slowly turns when he's, like, apologizing. Did you? It's turning very slowly enough to be unsettling.
Yeah. But not, just something about the walk, like, because... Even that, like, it kind of leaves you doubting. Like, maybe it wasn't moving. Maybe I'm tripping with him. But then the hallway shot of it, like, actually pursuing him. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, fuck. There's something happening here.
Yes. Yeah, not good. So they leave. Oh, I lost my place. I'm sorry.
Footage reveals.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know what is getting into me tonight.
Well, you're jumping in and out of this thing.
Yeah, that's
from another location.
I know. I think that's throwing me off a little bit. So footage reveals Chase was approached, and we already said that line.
Yeah.
Margot and Rebecca leave the house, but their car battery is dead.
This... Oh, man, this is a you struggle.
Hey, I have that thing where I can jump my car even when there's no one around.
30 seconds! 30 seconds!
for everyone listening who has no idea what he's talking about, I have, like, basically it's a portable, like, a power bank in my car that I can, that comes with jumper cables, so I can use it to jump my own car. The instructions are so, like, double dare. It's like, once you plug it in, you have 30 seconds to start your engine. Once you start the engine, once the power bank starts beeping, you have 10 seconds to disconnect it. And, like, in the same order, or, like, reverse order that you plugged it in. And I'm like, this is stressful as shit. Me thinking I'm gonna fucking blow up my car on accident. But, yeah. So, I would not have this problem. I would be like, everyone hold the fuck on and give me 5 minutes and we will be getting the fuck out of here.
We're Gucci.
We're getting out of here. We're not... Yeah, there's so many moments in this movie where I'm like, if they had just left at this point, they would all alive. Bowie, please.
It's a baby. Bowie. Not you, Ghost. You're too small. Your mother
is speaking. Okay. Jump. Jump. There you go.
I also, anywho,
yeah, I'm at a desk next to my bed, so my cats are like, what are you doing? Not laying down, I see.
What do?
Yeah.
Why do?
I know. So,
hello.
In an attempt now, so they get in the car, the car doesn't start, everyone's freaking out. They try to walk to the nearest town. The
sun is still up.
It's up. Like, it is.
She bright.
She is very bright. They're trying to walk through the woods, and it is thwarted by the members of the cult, forcing the two to flee back to the manor. Now, we know that these are cult members. They don't. They just see hooded figures and decide to run for their fucking lives.
Mm-hmm.
At this point...
When you see the first one, and you're like, oh, shit. Well, there's two of them. They can take them. Then they look back, and there's two of them like, oh, fuck, they gotta go. Oh, fuck. They gotta run back. But then the shrieking in the woods, too.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Oh, so creepy. I love it. So, when they get back to the manor, they receive disturbing text messages from Chase. Creepy as shit. Like, it's just like, I have friends and they want to meet you too. And it's just like, I don't like also, that.
Could I get the when reading of this strange sentence? Where you're at?
Oh, disturbing text messages?
Oh, yeah. Actually, never mind. It makes sense now. God damn it.
Disturbing text messages from Chase drive the two women to flee into their car, but the cult members surround them.
And which forces like,
them again to return to the manor.
Just, they're in the room with you?
Yeah. So,
so good.
Here's
so
my good. Thing. Like, part of my anxiety, and I think actually it's my anxiety, your anxiety, and Ruben's anxiety, none of us like having our backs to a crowd.
Like, my favorite thing was when we went to the game night that year. And Ruben and I walk in like, oh, this house is really nice. That's how I get out. That's how I get out. That's how I get out.
Oh.
The one in San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, we start pointing out exits immediately. We're like, this is how I escape in case something goes down.
Yeah, that's what happens when you hang out with white people. No, because we all kind of have that anxiety. And so for me watching this movie, like, I'm just like, just get in the corner. Just get in a fucking corner.
Put your back to a corner and fucking fight.
Yeah, but get your back. Take a knife. Like, you know, like, there's like, it's a fully stocked kitchen. Get a fucking knife. Sit in the corner. Not that the knife will do anything, but it might make you feel better.
That's just me in the corner.
That's me in the
spot. That's me in the spot. Light stabbing all the clowns. Yeah. Honestly, dude, when the call thing started going off from Pat's room.
Yeah.
Oh my god, because I heard it and I was like, that's the call button. That's a call button. Holy shit, it's happening.
Yeah, because you get a nice little what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not preview. Because then when they pointed out in the beginning...
He just says, it's silent now, but when it was working...
Yeah. My grasp on the English language is failing me today. Sorry, guys.
it's a light foreshadowing, because
foreshadowing, like, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, he says it and I'm like, okay, cool, we're gonna hear it, but like, I wasn't sure when.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they weren't even in the kitchen when it happened.
This will come back later.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, they return to the manor.
Yes, they return to the manor once again. So basically they've gone back and forth to the manor like twice now. Margot hears Chase calling for her, leaving Rebecca, who is killed by Catherine's ghost. It's all very sad.
My God.
Yes.
Like, again, start listening to your colored friends, people. We know what's happening.
Calm down.
Hey, man. Rebecca, aside from a friend who developed the film, Bradley, please, only colored person in this movie. Only person with common sense.
Of course, but also you just keep saying colored, and I'm like, I don't know.
I'm just saying brown, black,
sure,
Asian, it don't matter. Honestly, listen to the person who's not white.
I mean, yeah. Typically, that, I mean, hasn't led me astray yet.
Exactly. That's what we do. We're out here.
So Margot finds Chase's eyeless corpse. Very metal, very cool. Before being stalked by the clown who corners and attacks her. Meanwhile, cutting back to the other information, Patrick is identified as the clown and the one who tried to abduct Margot as a child.
That's fucking wild.
It's very chef's kiss. It's very good.
Dude, the eyeless corpse?
Mm.
I literally just realized what it reminded me of.
Hmm.
The eyeless corpse from Deathgasm.
Yes.
Or like multiple eyeless corpses from Deathgasm, where they have like no eyes and the blood down the cheeks.
Yeah.
It was just more serious this time. It wasn't stupid.
Everyone watch Deathgasm. That's a good one.
Hell yeah.
So in the final scene, Patrick apologizes to a camera before yelling at an unseen man to be quiet, departing through a doorway into a red-tinted room implied to be another gate to hell, as seen in previous films. Not the first one, I'll tell you that much. And then that's pretty much the movie. However, wrapping it up, there is a mid-credit scene which features Alice, one of the people being the talking head interviews. Mentioning the fair is coming back to town, and an image of a clown is seen peeking through a window in the background.
Hell yeah.
So good. I fucking, yeah, incredible.
Oh man.
Incredible. All right.
We got part 5 coming out next year.
So we're actually going to get to that. God damn it. Yes. Not you too, Danny.
So I didn't even read ahead. I'm just saying. Oh, there you are again.
That's creepy. That's so creepy. Why?
Hello.
I don't like it.
I mean, nobody likes it, but I'm going to laugh and encourage them.
No.
I have to.
I don't want to be haunted. Anyway, quick reception, some reviews, and then quick discussion. This is a fun little just us hanging out episode.
Yee.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, 88%. It has an 88% rating out of 17 critics' reviews, which are positive, with an average rating of 6.8 out of 10.
Okay.
88% is pretty fucking good for the fourth entry of any horror movie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I saw it. When I looked it up, I was like, all right, I see you, Hell House. Goddamn. Yeah. Solid.
Letterboxd has a 3.1 average rating out of 5 from 38,000 reviews.
I read ahead.
Oh, okay.
The one that you're about to read.
Oh, okay.
Literally, it's been tattooed in my brain all day.
Oh, okay. Kicking it off, user Sarah with 4 stars saying, quote, fuck them clowns, but more importantly, fuck Margot.
Right?
God.
Margot is like the biggest piece of shit in this movie.
Oh, for sure. Like, it's actually going to be the topic of conversation for our fun little segment.
Good.
User Fimbly with 3 stars saying, quote, someone better get those Hell House clowns under control. They're going to end up in space one day if we're not careful.
God damn it. Shout out to fucking, was it Friday the 13th? Jason X?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, it was good. User Crisp, spelt CHRISP, with 2.5 stars, 4 films deep, and yep, the clowns are still creepy, unquote. And then finally, user Helen with 4 stars saying, quote, so much better than a 4th installment has any right being. Unquote.
Yeah.
Big agree, Helen. Big
Wait,
agree.
Did you see Mike Flanagan's review on this?
I did. I read it.
High praises.
High praises. Which I think he only gave it like 3 stars. He didn't know. So Mike Flanagan.
I think he gave it like 4
he didn't.
Or something.
So Mike Flanagan does this really cool thing with his letterbox. He'll write reviews, but he doesn't give them a star rating.
Ah.
Which I think is just his attempt at being peaceful about it.
Well, I also think, too, like, what he wrote, he had a lot of points. Like, it was all high praises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please go look it up if you guys want to read it. Like,
yeah, Mike Flanagan's reviews are great.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, Megan Navarro of Bloody Disgusting gave the film a 3.5 out of 5 and wrote, quote, while the effective goosebump-inducing scares and refreshing expansion of the story feels like a return to form for the franchise, the Carmichael Manor is hampered by its found footage format. Wrong. The intrepid Margot makes the familiar missteps into found footage trope territory that seals her group's fate. I'll agree. Soft agree.
Yeah.
Also, moving on, before we go forward with this next bit, in case you forgot, we covered Hell House LLC in January of this year.
Oh, shit.
The last 3 lines of that episode are as follows. Hell House Origins LLC, or Hell, sorry, Jesus Christ, Hell House Ma'am? LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor, was released also direct to DVD in 2023 to surprisingly positive reviews, many claiming that the franchise was back on a winning track. However, at this point, there are no intentions on making another one, as Origins wrapped up the through line of the entire franchise. But who knows? Maybe one day we'll get another entry, and maybe Horrible People's Podcast will have to cover it. In true manifesting fashion, this past July, a 5th installment, titled Hell House LLC Lineage, was announced with a teaser trailer and will be released sometime in 2025.
Oh, man.
So,
there's so many things they can do with that movie.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know what it's about or what it's going to entail. Obviously, it's going to include our creepy clown boys, but what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm very interested about what they're going to do.
Absolutely. Okay, that's it. Very quick, very easy.
Ew.
We kind of been hinting at it, but Danny, your thoughts on Hell House LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor.
So like I said, I've only seen Hell House 1. This one was a lot of fun for me. I had a great time. Like I said, I think they blue ball you well enough with the jump scares where, like,
mm-hmm.
you're expecting it, but when it happens, it still kind of gets you.
Yeah.
I did set myself up very well. So I told Webster when I started watching this morning, I started in a very dark jury room.
Yes.
And then I watched as much as I could before I had to start work. Then during my lunch, I killed most of the lights in the courtroom, and I continued it until about 10 minutes left. The problem is this courtroom, like the courthouse, is very old, and so the door that like employees can come in and out of doesn't close all the way. And randomly, it'll just close on its own. So there were times where, like, that happened, and I would pop up and, like, oh, shit, the demons are here. So I think it helped add a little, like, extra scare. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, being in an older building like that, an older part of Orange County. Like, I don't know. It made it a little spookier for me. I had a great time with this movie. I don't have a lot of negative to say about it. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think it's so much fun. It's so surprising that I'm this big of a fan of the 4th installment of any horror franchise.
Yeah, I'm there with you, man. Same.
Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, I watched it the first time while I was getting tattooed in broad daylight, mind you, and I was still, like, I think my only concern, or my only gripe, is that you pretty much have to watch it in low light or at night. Because
yeah.
there's some things that it's just like the lighting left some to be desired. But
I mean, it's either that or you turn up whatever you're watching it on to full brightness so you can see everything.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, that's like video games when you turn the brightness all the way up so you don't get fucking scared out of your mind.
Oh no, I want the fear.
No, when I was playing Resident Evil 7, like I turned up the brightness a little bit.
Oh my god.
Just a little bit more than I needed.
Just accept the demons.
Just a little bit more than I needed it to be, so that way I didn't like scream and throw my controller at my very expensive TV. Yeah, but I love this movie. Like, I completely unironically just had such a fucking blast with this movie. Like, yeah, there's some dumb moments, and yeah, the acting of some of the very, very, like, auxiliary side characters isn't good. But it's still fun.
Yeah.
But... so we also kind of talked about our experiences with the franchise.
Yes.
So we're gonna dive into fun little question time.
Oh!
We're talking about the worst characters in found footage. It's a whole new bracket.
Oh my god.
Just as explained, we have a bracket of some of the worst characters in found footage, and today we're gonna figure out which one is truly the worst.
Oh my god. I'm looking at it already.
Oh yeah. We have Micah Sloan from Paranormal Activity coming out strong. Zach from The House's October Built. Margot from Hell House. Hudson Platt, which is T.J. Miller's character in Cloverfield. Alex, who is the main character in the first Hell House LLC movie. Heather from The Blair Witch Project. Sean Ruddy from Deadstream. Which Danny and I both love.
Oh my god. I was literally talking about that movie today at work.
And
I'm so glad it's here.
And Jack Delroy from Late Night with the Devil.
Hell yeah, dude.
So, since there isn't three of us, we don't have a tiebreaker. But I think we'll be in pretty much...
Pretty we'll be
big
there.
Consensus. So, I'm going to start at the lower right. So, Sean Ruddy from Deadstream versus Jack Delroy from Late Night with the Devil. Who are you picking as the worst?
Sean Ruddy, 1000%. Fuck that guy. Like, Jack Delroy is a saint in my eyes. I'll piss on Sean Ruddy. I'll R. Kelly that man.
So, Sean, for sure, absolutely sucks. But I think Jack Delroy has a very, I love his character, but he has a very specific, no, the show has to go on. Like, we cannot, even when things are going absolutely haywire, he's like, no, we're gonna, fuck it, we'll do it live.
You know who doesn't have allegations?
Jack Delroy.
Is Jack Delroy.
That's true. He just
you know who
his
has
wife.
Allegations?
Sean Ruddy.
Sean Ruddy.
That's fair. I mean, I agree with you. I do think Sean Ruddy is the worst one, but...
Also, Sean Ruddy, for those who haven't seen Deadstream, is an influencer, and I hate y'all.
That's true. Oh, so good. Okay, moving right along. Margot from Hell House LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor, and Hudson Platt.
Oh my god.
Have you seen Cloverfield recently?
Not recently. I have seen it.
Do you remember his character?
Yes.
He sucks.
Yeah, but... Margot. I gotta give it to Margot.
Yeah, I think so too.
I am with those people that said, fuck them clowns, but more...
Fuck Margot.
Fuck Margot.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Margot gaslit so many people, she only got serious... Once Chase went missing.
That's true.
Which, I've done a lot for my family, and especially, my brother. But, if, I'm staying at a haunted house for whatever reason, and it's me, Lexi, and my brother's there, and my brother tells me, hey, we gotta get the fuck out of here. I'm like, cool, let's go, Captain. Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
The vibes are off.
That's the thing, though, is I think all of us have a pretty good head on our shoulders. If we're staying at some haunted-ass location and it's just, something, happens that is pretty definitive, I'm like, okay, cool, we're leaving.
Yeah. Also,
then all of you are going to be like, oh, yeah, for sure. And that's how we not die in horror movies.
Ooh, I'm gonna ask Lexi for the Barbarian Airbnb so we can all stay there.
Oh, absolutely.
So we can all die.
Yeah.
Also, by the time this comes out, we will know if the Dodgers are in the World Series.
Oh my god.
Let's go!
I thought we found out yesterday.
No, that was game or winning game 2 of 4, but today we just won. So that's 3 of 4, but tomorrow the game starts at 2.
I see.
So I will know by the time I'm off work. Cool. Anyway, back to this shenanigan.
Ooh, sports ball.
Sports ball.
What was I going to say? Damn it, I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry I exist.
It's okay. Okay, moving right along. We have Alex from Hell House LLC. Alex with an E, mind your business. And Heather from The Blair Witch Project.
This one's actually tougher.
I think. This one, I went pretty easy for the first two, but...
Oh my god.
So, Alex is also a gaslighting piece of shit. He refuses to let anyone leave. He's very aggro, but so is Heather. So, I'm quite torn on this one.
I don't know, because the way OG Hell House ends...
That's true.
They don't have the information? Ish?
Yeah, but once, like, but, like, when but spooky the shit yeah, starts happening, the shit like, when started, things yeah. are moving, or, like, also, like, he's kind of a dick to his friends. Like, when the guy goes missing in Hell House LLC, he's like, fuck that guy, he always goes missing, and now he shows up and wants my forgiveness, and But also,
Heather went pursuing the spooky shit.
That's true.
And then kept going.
And, it's hard. This one's a hard one.
I'm gonna have to go with Alex. It's a tough one, I know.
See, I was leaning Heather.
Ooh, if you want to stick with Heather, I have a D20 in my hand.
Okay.
Who do you want to give odds? Who do you want
to
give evens?
Evens to Heather, odds to Alex.
All right. It is a 14.
Ooh, okay.
Heather takes it.
Heather takes it. See, a D20 is our tiebreaker.
Yes, I have so many dice around me, by the way.
Okay, now this is the real fucking asshole Olympics.
Yes.
We have Micah Sloan from Paranormal Activity and Zach from The Houses October Build.
What do you do here? What do you do here?
Yeah. Now, this one is a little bit easier for me. Mm-hmm. Zach sucks. In The Houses October Built, he is a shitty friend, and he treats everyone horribly.
Yeah,
and he's a bag of shit. And he insists everything goes forward, and he's so obsessed with the blue skeletons, and he's not a good person. However, Micah Sloan, in my opinion, not even in found footage, in horror films in general,
he's
the worst fucking protagonist ever.
I'm there with you. I hate Micah Sloan.
Micah sucks so much.
Hate!
Okay.
Little puppy, hate.
That was easy. Micah. Okay, round 2.
Why are you writing Michael?
I don't know. Michael! Michael! Okay, we have Sean from Deadstream and Heather from The Blair Witch Project.
It's Sean.
Wow.
I just couldn't. Like, the way he treated the quote-unquote fan.
Yeah.
All of it. Like... Man, that is one of my favorite movies you've ever showed me.
Yeah? Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I really like that movie.
That was a good one.
One of my favorite found footage movies of all time is Deadstream.
Well, it's done really well, and it's just a shitty character.
they wrote him as a shitty character very well. Yeah.
Okay. I'm willing to let you have this one.
Yes!
Sean.
Seanifer.
Seanifin. Okay, now we have Margot from Hell House Origins. Hell House LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor. That's so fucking lengthy. That is a mouthful, dude.
just Margot from this movie.
Yes, I know. I just wanted to try saying it. Anyway, and then Micah from Paranormal Activity. Micah. I think.
You're going with Micah?
I mean, I came out pretty strong. I came out swinging pretty hard when I was saying he is the worst ever.
I do think he is slightly more of a piece of shit because Margot did eventually realize we need to leave.
That's true. Micah was a dick until the very end.
Even though Rebecca gave her 2 extra hours to wait for Chase to come back or mm-hmm. show up, Micah wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that's true. Micah, yeah, because, well, yeah, he's a garbage person. Like, even before things start going bad, like, he just seems like a bad husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Micah.
Hmm.
Britannia agrees.
Man, I thought that was a door opening, and I was like, I need you to keep all your doors closed, because, fuck.
No. My door is cracked, but that's fine. And then, hi, baby. All right. Finals. We're in the finals.
Oh, shit, son.
We have Micah versus Sean. Who is the worst?
I hate Sean.
I didn't realize you felt this passionately about Sean.
I just don't like influencers.
If Micah was an influencer?
Oh, my God. If Micah was an influencer, for the love of God, rip his balls out. Like, I would have been cheering at, like, the way I was at the end of Deadstream.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it would have been at the end of Paranormal Activity.
You were very excited. It's true.
It's fucking great.
I need to rewatch Deadstream. It's so good.
Yes. I've been telling Lexi about it, and I'm like, dude, you might actually be with me, or you might at least, she'll at least see why I like that movie sure. so much.
Oh, yeah.
Because fuck that guy.
Oh, it's so good. It's like almost horror comedy.
Yeah.
So you're going to go Sean?
I'm going Sean.
I'm going Micah. This is going to be another D20 decider. Oh my God,
we're giving it up to the D20 yeah. guys. Hold on. Let me get my blood covered D20. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, are you going to do it?
No. I popped up and I clicked on
something.
Oh
my God, I see you there.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What the fuck? What are you doing? Why are you on the Blair Witch Project?
I don't know.
I love it so much because that's terrifying.
I think that's where I left my mouse, or like where I left what I was working on when I left it at my office.
No, this makes it so much better.
I hate this.
Welcome to the first actual haunted episode of Horrible People's Podcast.
Oh my God.
All right, so I have my blood-covered D20.
Okay.
Who are you giving odds?
Is it the one that I gave you?
Yeah. Okay. Who are you giving odds? Who are you giving evens?
I'm going to give Micah odds.
Micah is odds. All right. Sorry. It is Micah. It was a 3.
Yes.
I paused because the blood cuts in on the inside, so I wanted to make sure it wasn't an 8.
Ah. Yes. Victory.
Yeah. Micah. So Micah from Paranormal Activity takes it, but be aware, both characters, bags of shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They both, like, honestly, every single person on this list is kind of a shithead.
Yeah. They deserve what happened to them.
I got inspired on this because I was going through the Letterboxd reviews, and someone was saying I need to make a list of all the shitty main characters in found footage films, and I was like, oh my God, I know what I have to do.
Man, we can't go to VHS1 and have a fucking party.
Well, VHS1 I wanted to put, but, like, I wasn't, like...
It's hard to pick a character.
Yeah, because it's... I mean, because it's an anthology, there's a lot going on with it.
I will say, though, this whole list, the most innocent person is Jack Delroy. He's kind of a douche, but he's not, like, at their level.
That's true. He's no Sean Ruddy.
No, he's not.
Yeah. But, no, I think, yeah, this was, this not to, you know, pat myself on the back too much, but, like, I had a lot of fun putting this list together.
No, I really liked it. So she texted me, she was like, I came up with a game, and I was like, oh? No response, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
All right, Micah Sloan from Paranormal Activity is dubbed the biggest asshole the biggest in found footage.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, he is the
at least
worst.
Up to now.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this up. What are you rating Hell House LLC Origins, the Carmichael Manor, out of 5 mysterious items hidden in a grandfather clock?
I wasn't sure if you're going to go there or clowns.
Ah.
I'm going to give it 3.75
okay.
mysterious items because, like I said, I think... This is a movie that, like, the way I felt, I had a very good time watching it. It was so much fun. I think the scares were set up great. I think the lore dropping was great. But I can also see why people won't dig it.
Yeah. And so, I can't.
I mean, I don't see how you don't, but also I have to now because I would never show Lexi this movie.
Oh, well, I mean, but also Lexi isn't like a horror guy.
Well, I don't know, but that's the thing. It's like, let's say, you know, one of her friends tells her, hey, have you heard of Horror House? Or not Jesus Christ, Horror House. Shoot me in the fuck. Have you heard of Hell House? And she's like, no. And then she comes up to me and is like, hey, we should watch the Hell House series. And I look at her like, are you sure? And so, then we watch it. And then, so Webster is of the opinion that I'm trying to become single by making her watch these terrible movies.
So, okay, so for another example, my wonderful dear friend Caitlin, who lives in New York City, we know each other so well, she will text me and be like, hey, this movie, do you think I would like it? Caitlin is so sensitive, like emotionally to scary things that, like, I have a pretty good gauge on whether or not something would upset her or not. I would never in a million years say you should watch this movie. That doesn't mean it's not a good movie.
So that's why I'm giving it that, like, honestly, I really enjoyed it. I would recommend it to anybody that likes horror movies in general.
Yeah, if someone likes found footage specifically, I'm like, dude, you should check this
shit. You're going to have a great time. Yeah. But I would definitely say at least watch part one before you see this.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's, I think, the rough part about recommending a sequel to someone. You're like, listen, this is a commitment. You have to watch another movie before this, at least.
Also, I did miss screening of The Exorcist at the Frida.
Damn.
Tonight. But also, it would have been just me.
Oh.
Because there's no way there's no way I take Lexi to watch that movie.
You said you were going to.
And she would have left me immediately. I either would have had to pay for her Uber so she could go home and never speak to me again, or I would have had to Uber myself home. Because there is no way she watches that and is going to feel like, okay.
Okay.
But I'm a single man as soon as I show her that movie.
You love The Exorcist, though.
I do. That's why I don't watch it with her. Tomorrow, after I take Ghost out for his birthday dinner, we're coming home and we're watching his favorite horror movie, Halloween.
As you should.
Ha, fluffy boy.
It's his favorite.
Yeah, actually, for those who are listening, his favorite soundtrack is the Halloween theme. When it comes on, he literally jumps up next to me and is like, where's it? Where are we watching?
Are we watching it? Are we watching it? Fucking funny.
He's done it ever since he was a baby.
Happy fifth birthday.
He's 5 years old. My floofy boy.
Yeah. I'm going to rate this movie 4. I had thought about it. I feel very confident giving it a 4.
Solid, yeah.
Yeah, it's super solid. It's so enjoyable. It's like a perfect kind of like mindless... Jesus Christ. They found me. Yeah, it's a perfect kind of mindless fun that, like, it's perfect for spooky season. It's such, like, a moody, spooky time. I can see this going so hard at a Halloween party. Like...
Oh, yeah. A watch marathon of just Hell House movies. I think... Like, even if you don't dig 2 and 3...
Well, I've heard the third one sucks.
Well, that's the thing. Even if you don't dig 2 and 3, when you put on 4, 4 redeems the fuck out of this...
Totally.
...this franchise. I'm excited for 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else about Hell House LLC Origins, the Carmichael Manor?
Watch it. Great time.
Yes.
Don't care if you like clowns or not. You're going to have fun.
If you don't like clowns, it's an extra special hell. Yeah. Cool. Let's go ahead and call it there. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Next week, ooh. Next week I do know what we're talking about. Phil is writing it. It is a return to a director we have covered only once before.
Oh, shit, son.
And it is one of the most... popular mainstream horror thrillers ever.
Thriller, you say?
Horror thriller, I would say. Hmm. I'll tell you what it is when we're not recording. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious now.
So stay tuned for that. Also, you know, scheduling might be a little weird for the next couple of weeks. I am going to Philadelphia and New York City for Halloween this year. So you might hear Danny again. He's probably going to fill in for me at some point.
I'm down. They have my number. They know where to find me.
Yes. And where can they find you, Danny? On Instagram?
My God.
Plug your shit.
All right. So you can find me on Instagram at Wrathchild714. You can follow my podcast, Hops and Notes Pod. I've been very lazy, but also very busy with just house construction. I'm building a backlog, I swear. But you can find Hops and Notes at Hops and Notes Pod on Instagram. You can find me on Untappd. That is beer rating Instagram at Wrathchild714. Just to enrage Webster. You can find me on Blue Sky at Wrathchild714. Nobody's on there.
Yeah.
I think the person that gave me the code to be added is no longer on there.
That's really fucking funny.
But thanks, Lindsay. You're the best. And then Turning Tables Pod for all your D&D nerd.
Yeah, we're lagging on that too, but...
but we're going to come back soon, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully soon.
We're going to have to actually talk about it in the group chat.
Other than just sending memes back and forth all day.
I mean, we've just been yelling at each other for a few months. But life has been wild for everybody in that chat, so...
It's true. There's been a lot of life changes.
Yeah. Bear with us. We're going to come back.
Yes.
We're going to be rolling dice more often than we did. This is the most dice rolling I've done for a podcast.
Oh, that's so sad. Well, I mean, have you guys even been playing in the home games?
No.
Ah, rough. Yeah, people be having kids and shit.
I know, fucking gross. Stop raw dogging.
It's okay.
Or pull out.
Plan B. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest of all of this podcasting shenanigans, we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast.
Hell yeah.
And you can find me on Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. I am also a frequent guest on Hops and Notes, and I am also a co-host of Turning Tables Pod, so go check it out there if you want.
Current DM, Alex Webster.
Barely current DM. I am trying so hard to pass the freaking baton to you, but we have
exiting DM, Alex Webster. Yeah.
Exiting DM. End of her fucking rope DM.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to our special Oops, All Vibes episode of Horrible People's Podcast.
Only vibes.
Only vibes. And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Peace, y'all.